Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for getting on the phone with me.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor.
Well, it's an honor on my end. I'm like really excited about this. I've been looking forward to it. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really good. It was really quiet. I just had my sister over and my kids, my husband, and we just kind of hung out and ate all day.
That sounds like the best Thanksgiving ever.
How about you?
It was great. It was really nice. Thank you. My mom came into the city, so just hung out with her and my girlfriend, and we just had a relaxing time. It was really good.
Awesome. Glad to hear.
So I mean, as you know, I mean, the reason I wanted to have you on the podcast is like what you've done is nothing short of tremendous. And I would really like to just hear more of your story and just speak to you. And if throughout that process and time there's anything I can do, any questions I can answer for you, I would love to speak with you and help in any way I can. But I'd also just love to hear what you're doing, what you've been through, just like more about you and what has happened and what you've done to get to where you are.
Great. So I started a long time ago. I've basically been on a quote unquote diet since I was pretty young. I've always struggled with my weight, and being on a diet when you're young, you just kind of develop bad habits of restriction and not and avoiding food and having food fear and not wanting to eat because you're afraid of the calories. And so that kind of followed me throughout my life. In my 20s, I was diagnosed with celiac disease and Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And so that just also contributed to the weight factor. And I just always was dieting, but not ever being really successful at keeping the weight off. And I tried everything, and most re in the recent most recent past, the past, let's see, about 3 years ago, I decided to try a little known diet called the keto diet, and I did lose weight on that diet. I mean, everybody tends to lose weight on that diet because you're removing a macronutrient from your body, but I developed like the wor disordered eating is what my dietitian told me I had, and she and I would be so fearful of carbs. I would avoid them. I would, you know, and I would try and spread the word, no, carbs are bad and they make you fat and you shouldn't eat carbs and that's why you're fat and blah blah blah. But this it's not. And so I went down this road for 2 years of being on the keto diet. My hair
Wow,
fell
you were on the keto
out.
diet for 2 years straight?
Yeah. And
Wow.
it was not good. It was not good for my thyroid for one.
Can you
And it
talk about
also,
that? Like, what happened, like, thyroid-wise? Like, what happened?
my thyroid levels kept, we weren't able to stabilize them. And my doctor kept having to adjust my medication. We were never actually able to successfully stabilize my thyroid medication until I quit doing the keto diet, which is when I became pregnant with my son.
Got it.
So,
Got it. Okay.
I don't know if that's typical for other people who have a thyroid issue, but that's what happened to me.
Did your
And
doctor say why that might have been?
he I never really told him that I was on the keto diet, and that kind of I don't know why I never told him that piece of the information. So yeah, so I mean, I knew. I was like, well, I didn't want to stop doing the keto diet. I was afraid of carbs and I was afraid of
Right.
food. And I was like, well, this is working and I'm at the lowest weight I've ever been in my life. And then yeah, so I didn't really want to have to stop doing that, which just tells you how disordered that thinking is. Then I became pregnant with my son, and I tried sticking to the keto diet, but I became really, really sick. And that's when I was forced to change my eating habits. But it was not without fear. And during my entire pregnancy, I was so afraid of the weight gain, and I was didn't want to eat. And that, but I mean, I had to. I was pregnant, and just the disordered eating just stuck with me through the entire pregnancy. and just the fear of gaining weight, and I wouldn't get on the scale at the doctor's office because I would panic. Like, I would actually start panicking and I would refuse to get on the scale. I didn't want to see any weight gain and I didn't want to know about it, because if I did, then I would immediately go into old habits of restriction and removing food from my diet so that the weight wouldn't come on. And I mean, you're pregnant, like, you're going to gain weight. So after my pregnancy, I kind of stopped dieting and kind of went into maintenance, and I decided that I needed to figure something else out. And my friend Mia introduced me to you on Instagram, and I immediately started devouring everything that you put out. And I went through every single video that you put on YouTube, and I read all of your posts, and they just started making sense to me. And at first I was resistant because I was like, well, you don't know. And I think I even emailed you and I said, you don't know what it's like having Hashimoto's, and it's not true. It's not just calorie deficit. And then, you know, you had a conversation with me, which, thank you. And you were very kind. And I was like, you know what? I think he's on something. That's very lucky.
He was kind that time. Sometimes I get really mad. So I'm glad that I'm
sure you do. I would too, because I would too. And I just kind of stuck it out, and I kept just devouring the information that you were putting out. And then I joined the Inner Circle. I believe it was in April. And I just kind of, I did the 90-day unicorn challenge, and I just kind of like hung out and was observing everybody. And I'm like, you know what? This is it. This is like really the real thing. This is the key. And it's so simple. It's learning about calorie deficit for weight loss, not being afraid of food, and then watching your weight fluctuation videos and stories on Instagram that you did, where it was really, really life-changing for me, because it showed fluctuation just in an everyday setting. And that if your weight fluctuates up, doesn't mean that you gained weight. It's probably water or glycogen or what have you. You know, you ate a slice of pizza the night before and you're just holding on to water. Like, that just, it was so simple.
That makes me so happy. And the best part about that is that you identified just now what would happen if you had a slice of pizza which has more carbs and more salt, that you're probably holding on to more water. Not just the fact that you know your weight will fluctuate, but that you specifically identified exactly what and why your weight will fluctuate. I love that you just said that.
Yes. And I feel like that's the key, because a lot of people just get on the scale and they're like, oh, well, I gained 3 pounds. That one pizza really packed it on. This is why I shouldn't eat carbs. And that, when that's not true, if you give yourself a couple of days and watch the scale, you will see that your weight's just going to go back down, you know, as long as you don't keep eating like an asshole, like you say, which also is, you know, it gives you the liberty to, you know, have the pizza at your daughter's birthday party or go out with friends and have a couple drinks and a meal and not feel panicky about it. And because I would get to the point where I just wouldn't eat. And I would, you know, I was at 900 calories a day and I was sick. And I don't know, finding you on Instagram was definitely not a mistake. And I am so thankful for the information that you put out into the world, because it's honestly life changing.
That makes me super happy. And thank you for saying that. And I would actually, I'd really like to know and talk more about, because this is something that keeps popping up, is your experience with Hashimoto's, and also how finding out learning more about calorie deficit, like, how is your experience with Hashimoto's changed from going from feeling like you'll never be able to lose weight to learning more about, like, wow, you know what? Like, I actually can do this.
So with Hashimoto's, a lot of people know it is a hypothyroid. It's an autoimmune disease, but it's also hypothyroid. It's treated the same way as just regular hypothyroid. You take medication, hormones every morning. And with just like regular hypothyroid, you tend to put on weight even without trying, without even shoving food in your mouth. You just kind of put on weight. very easily if you're untreated. And the key is getting your treatment. But after that, it's still pretty hard to lose the weight, but it's not impossible. And that's the thing that I have discovered along the road is I kind of would throw my hands up and say, you know, I have this disease and I'm just gonna be this large my whole life, and just kind of threw your hands up. And now that I realize that calorie deficit is the way to go, I'm seeing movement on the scale. It's not fast. It's not fast by any means, but it's going down. And anybody who has a thyroid issue knows how hard it is to get that scale to go down. But I'm telling you right now that with a calorie deficit, it's possible, thankfully, and that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to stay stuck with this disease, and it doesn't have to rule your life.
I love that. I think that what you said, a number of things that you said are incredibly important for people to hear and understand. Number one being that it will be harder when you have that disease. Like, it's harder. Like, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where, okay, we've established that it's harder. We've established that it's a disadvantage. Like you said, the key is to first and foremost get medicated and make sure your levels are normalized. And then from there, I think what you've done that is the 1% that is like the reason why you are succeeding and will continue to succeed is because you haven't allowed this disease to cause you to take that victim mentality.
Right.
You haven't allowed this disease to cause you to be like, you know what? Like, I'm just not going to try.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's going to be harder. So what's the point? It's like, it's going to be harder. So I'll work harder.
Right.
So I'll do it because it's important to you. And I think that mentality is so incredibly powerful, and it's essential to have, because you have two options when you find out you have something like this. Option number one is to say, you know what? Like, I have this, it's going to be harder. Fuck it. Not going to do it.
Right.
Option number two is to say, you know what? I have it. It's harder, but I'm not going to let this prevent me from doing it.
Right.
And like, that's really, those are the only two options. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people, especially when they first find out they have this issue, they'll use it as a justification to not try at all. And I don't blame them. I very much understand it, because it's like, you just found out that something that's already very hard is going to be even harder.
Right.
Like, it's like unbelievably difficult. But the way that I try and frame it is, what are you going to be more proud of? Like, are you going to be more proud of the fact that you kept trying and didn't quit? Or will you be more proud that you're like, all right, you know what? Like, I got the diagnosis and I said, fuck it, I quit.
Right.
Right? It's like, you really have to make that decision.
Yes. And that's a decision that I made. You know, from my very top weight, I've lost about 50 pounds.
It's incredible. I've had really
two kids in between there. So, I mean, it's gone up and down because of that. But, you know, the point is to keep going, even when it's slow, even when you don't see movement on the scale, even when you aren't noticing any progress, the progress is still happening, because it's happening within your mind. It's happening within your body, and your body knows, like, it keeps track of everything that you do. Like, people, you know, it keeps track of everything that you put in your mouth. It keeps track of the activity that you do, even if you aren't seeing the results. Like, they will come. They're just going to be a lot slower than somebody who doesn't have Hashimoto's or whatever other disease or disadvantage you have, you know?
Yeah. And there's a bunch, like, you hit on so many important points. I think you have overcome so many of the obstacles that a lot of people use as a reason to not try at all. You're a mother. You have two kids. You're incredibly busy. You've been on a diet your whole life, but no matter what, you don't stop.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. And it's one of the, like, when every obstacle is thrown your way, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to speak with you, is because what you're doing is nothing short of extraordinary. And I'm sure you've heard of the 4 minute mile, right? Where like the 4 minute mile was, it was supposedly impossible. Nobody could do it. And as soon as one person did it, a lot of people started to do it. A lot of people were like, wow, like, you know what? It is possible. Maybe I can do it. And so what does that lead to? It means that they try harder. And one of the reasons I really wanted to speak with you is because I have no doubt that at least one person, at least one, and realistically hundreds, if not thousands, will hear what you're talking about, what you've gone through, and be inspired to try a little harder. And trying a little harder might just be trying it all, right? Or like being more diligent of their consistency. And if that's all that happens from hearing what you've gone through and how you continue to work and how like you lost 50 pounds, you have two kids, you've been on a diet your whole life. Like you go through so much, you have Hashimoto's, you have all these things that people will use as a reason not to try it all, and you still keep going. And if people can hear that and not get inspired, like, that's not a human. Like it's incredible. It's like, it's extraordinary. And actually, if you're willing to, you don't have to, if you're willing to, I would love if you shared, your Instagram or something. Cause one of the reasons I love your Instagram and seeing your posts is because you're always so optimistic. Like it's something, and I spoke about this yesterday on the Inner Circle Live, and I actually made a video about it for the calorie cycling challenge yesterday as well. And I talk about this a fair amount, is the value of optimism and finding optimism in any situation. And actually I spoke about this. Someone asked last night in my Q&A about what's the best lesson that I learned from working with Holocaust survivors when I lived in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And one of the best lessons that I learned is that optimism is a choice. It does, and I think a lot of people conflate optimism with happiness, and they're not the same thing. Right, optimism and happiness are not the same. You cannot always be happy. You can't always choose to be happy, and anyone who says otherwise is an ignoramus. I'm not saying you have to be happy all the time. What I am saying is you have the option to choose to view any situation from an optimistic perspective or a pessimistic perspective.
Right.
And one thing I consistently see from you is that you, consciously or not, consistently find something to be optimistic about. And I very much believe, like, I see this as a common trait among the people who succeed far and away above more than most other people. And it's like optimism is so powerful, because when you think about it, when you're looking at the option of, okay, well, I can either just call it quits, not try, or, you know, I can keep trying because it's going to make me more proud. It's like, it's one of them is an optimistic perspective and one of them is a pessimistic perspective. And when you choose to go for that optimistic perspective, you will consistently find yourself making the decisions that are also going to make you the most proud.
Right.
And so would you actually, would you share your Instagram? Just because I think that a lot of people, if nothing else, people can get more positivity and more optimism just from following you.
Sure. So I have two. I have a fitness account that I just started because I'm actually in getting my certification for
to be a
certified personal trainer through NASM. So that is at Fierce Living Fit. And then my other one, which I post some fitness and just like mom and everyday stuff, is at Fierce Living Mama. And I put out information. I put out truth, and I put out my personal experience on things. And I'm always open and willing to have discussions with anybody who has any questions about Hashimoto's or dealing with it or celiac disease or even working out as a plus size person in the gym. I'm definitely open to speaking to anybody about that.
That's incredible. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I, at this point, like, I want to ask, is there anything that you wanted to discuss, any message you want to get across, or any questions that you have for me?
I don't know if I have any questions. I do just want to throw out that, you know, as a plus size person in the gym, I know that there's a lot of people out there that don't want to go to the gym because they're plus size, and they feel like they're being, looked down upon, or they feel like they're going to be made fun of, or they feel like they don't fit in. But I just want to get the message across that all bodies are good bodies, and that everybody is allowed to be in the gym, and everybody is allowed to be there. And you don't have to look like a gym bro or a fitness model to go to the gym. Like, it's open for everyone. And yeah, I just want to spread the love, and that everybody deserves to be welcomed at the gym.
I love that. And actually, I would love to know, like, did you ever struggle with going to the gym, like, in that capacity? Like, could you talk about that?
Sure. Yes. So I, you know, I always struggled with going to the gym up until recently. I never felt like I fit in. I was always too embarrassed to do anything besides the cardio machines. I always felt like I was dumb or out of place, and what is a plus size person doing on those machines anyway? But then, you know, you just kind of have to move past that idea. Nobody is really there to check you out. Like, if you're there to check other people out and you're there to cruise, then that's, you're at the gym for the wrong reason. And I just kind of pushed past that and said, you know what, I'm doing this for me. And if people want to make fun of me, or if they want to say rude things about me, that's on them. That's not on me. I'm here for myself and I'm here for my goals. And I need to use that machine over there to get to my goals. So I'm going to go use it. And so I started using the weight machines. And then once I started doing your program, I moved to the free weights, which has been amazing. They're my absolute favorite now.
Fuck yeah, let's go. Yeah, what do you like about them?
I feel empowered when I lift weights. I feel strong and I feel super confident. Like, I feel like a badass when I go to the gym and I do the.
Because you are a badass. Let's just be honest about it.
Thank you. A badass. I started doing deadlifting when I started your program, which I never in my life would imagine that I could ever do anything like that. But now I'm obsessed with it.
That's amazing.
I'm so obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with getting to a higher weight to lift. And right now I'm at, like, I think I'm at 258, maybe 260. So it's
on the deadlift.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, that's over how much I weigh. And that was my point, was to get, like, over how much I weigh and to lift over how much I weigh. So that was a cool goal to finally reach.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I started at 160 and now I'm about 260.
You've literally added over 100 pounds to your deadlift.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Since April. Yeah.
So since April. Jesus. Yeah. That's so extraordinary. Like, is a 2x body weight deadlift like a combo of like losing fat and getting stronger at the same time? Is that like a subsequent goal?
Yeah. Weight loss and getting stronger. That's one of my main, those are my two main goals. Getting stronger has been, I feel like it's been more rewarding than the weight loss, as weird
Fuck
as that
yeah.
sounds.
No, it doesn't sound weird at all.
I've been so weight loss focused for such a long time. But getting stronger has kind of taken over that. And I'm obsessed with it. I love lifting heavy at the gym because you just feel like a badass. And anybody who hasn't tried weightlifting at the gym needs to, because it's empowering, especially you plus size mamas out there. Like, let's do it.
I mean, arguably the, like, moms are the strongest of all people in the fucking world. Like, just like in so many different ways, the fact that then you can go express that strength through weightlifting is extraordinary. Yes. I couldn't agree more. And I'm like so beyond, because like, I can say it all day, but not everyone's going to believe me, but to hear it coming from your mouth and hearing like that you've added 100 pounds to your deadlift. And it's the other thing that, and it goes back to what I was saying about you before, which I just admire so much, is you've, in every situation, you find you take the option of optimism over pessimism. You could have not gone to the gym out of like fear of what other people might think about you, but you said you chose the optimistic perspective. And basically we could break it down into being like, the fear of not going is a pessimistic view in that you're assuming negative things of other people. Right. The optimistic perspective is like, I have a goal I want to achieve and I'm going to go get it no matter what people think. That's right. The more optimistic point of view. And in that situation, I think anybody would be validated in saying that, yeah, it is scary to go to the gym and there legitimately might be people there making fun of you, thinking weirdly of you, whatever, but it's up to you to make the decision to choose what option is going to make you the most proud and help you achieve your goals and be healthier. And that's what I love about you, among many things, is that you consistently it's very interesting to word it this way, but you consistently find ways to avoid using excuses to justify inaction. It's like you go out of your way to not allow excuses to be a part of your existence. And you do whatever it takes, no matter how uncomfortable it might make you, to achieve your goals. And in the process, you end up being so much happier and healthier for it. And you're finding new things that excite you and motivate you.
Yes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you saying all that, because I you know, you get so stuck in your own mindset, and hearing somebody else say something like that is just really motivating. And I really appreciate you saying all that.
Of course. And I mean it. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to speak with you is, number one, because like, so other people can hear like how, like the mindset of someone that I so like tremendously admire. And also because we're all human and we all struggle. We all have insecurities. Yeah. We all have days and weeks and months and years that like aren't going our way. And it's always right. Good to know that someone is looking and admiring and respecting. And I think that it's really important that you know that. And I think whether you know it or not, it's very important for you to come to understand and internalize that the mindset that you exhibit and that you clearly show is what leads me to know without a shadow of a doubt that you will succeed you will continue to succeed far beyond your wildest dreams, mainly because you don't allow excuses to justify inaction and because you stay so optimistic. It's really something that I value above most other things in life is the ability to choose optimism. It's who I choose to surround myself with, whether it's right. with Susan, whether it's with Rico, whether it's my buddy Mike. Mm-hmm. Like I surround myself with people who are very, very, very optimistic, because that's what's going to allow me to also be optimistic. And to see it in you, I think it's very important and powerful to hear that you're making these decisions no matter what. And like environment can dictate things and your past can dictate things and all these other things, and your like your health, like illnesses can dictate things, but yeah. They're really the ultimate responsibility lies within you to make the decisions that are best for you. And I think you exhibit that at the highest level.
Thank you. And you know, I mean, I struggle with mental health. I mean all of us kind of do in a way, and I've had some pretty strong battles with mental health issues, and having fitness and having the gym I'm not saying it's a cure, because it's definitely not, but it has helped me. It helps me so much. It helps relieve stress. It helps if I'm having, you know, a depressive episode. It helps if I'm having anxiety, because I have generalized anxiety disorder too. So I going to the gym just really, really helps with that. And I would encourage anybody who has any of those issues that, you know, getting some movement in does help a little bit, along with, you know, medication therapy. But I, you know, being optimistic about it, you know, I'm not always optimistic, but you kind of have to just put that forward in order to achieve your goals. And that's the point, you know, I think you were making, is that putting out the optimism and being optimistic about the future is how it's the best way to move forward.
100% agree. And I have to ask just one more thing, because I think this is really, really important. Do you remember the first time you ever ventured into the weight area?
Yeah, it was I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how much weight to pick up. I didn't know, you know, if I was going to pick up a 10-pound dumbbell, am I going to be able to finish this set? Or I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to put it back and get an 8-pound, and is it going to be embarrassing? And, you know, that fear is real.
And fear is real. I love that you just specifically outlined very real fears that you had, and I'm sure many others have. And I have to ask, after the first time in the weight area and going through all those experiences, did you regret doing it, or were you happy and proud that you did it?
No regrets at all. I was definitely happy and proud of myself for taking the steps to move into the weight area. You know, a lot of times you have to squeeze your way in, but don't be afraid. Go pick up your dumbbells, and you're allowed to stand in front of the mirror too and lift those weights.
You know, I'm so glad that I asked that question, because I think that question in itself and your answer to that is going to inspire a lot of people. And I actually even want to make an amendment, and I think you'll agree with it, is not to not be afraid, because you're okay. It's okay to be afraid, but don't use your fear as a justification for not going to lift weights.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
Don't use your fear as a justification for not going to the gym. Don't use your fear as a justification for not trying. Don't use any emotion as a justification or excuse for not doing what you know on the back end will make you healthier, happier, and proud of yourself. And you are the quintessence of that. And that, as you said, you were scared and you were nervous.
Yes.
And you did not let that prevent you from doing what you knew it was right. And on the back end, you didn't regret it one second. You didn't regret one action that day. All that you thought about was how proud you were of yourself for going in there. Yep. And then what happens when you do something that is very difficult and you do it consistently is it becomes a habit. And now that's what you're doing. And now you're deadlifting 100 pounds more than what you were before.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and don't let your ego get in the way. If you go and you set your weight to a certain limit and you can't do it and you have to drop the weight, don't let your ego get the best of you. Go ahead and drop the weight and keep moving forward. You know, I know even personally when you, you know, you think you're going to power through this heavy weight and then you're like, oh man, this is not, you know, your form is suffering or whatever, and you have to go down in weight. Just don't let your ego get in the way.
I love that. Don't feel like just because you lifted a weight one day, one time, or even for weeks or months at a time that you have to lift that weight every single time. Like in the same way that your weight is going to fluctuate up and down, your strength is going to fluctuate up and down. And you have to understand that in order to have a healthy and happy relationship with the gym.
Yes. I learned that. I was like, how come I was able to do 260 last week and this week I can only do 240. And so I had to learn that and kind of just go down a little bit and let your gym ego go.
Yeah. I think it, in any aspect of life, any skill development, you go through periods of time in which you're learning, in which you have to understand, like you make mistakes. And, you know, one of the mistakes that people make in the gym is like with technique, and people get hurt in the gym. And I would say if you haven't gotten hurt in the gym, you haven't had a nagging pain or injury ever, then you probably just haven't been going long enough. Like that's an unfortunate truth. Like there's no way to work out and try and push your body to improve for years and years and years and never sustain some sort of injury. That's what happens. That's part of life. And I think that's part of the learning process. And it's part of, like you sort of have to toe the line in order to understand, all right, well, let's not go that far again. Like I mean, I remember the first time I blew my back out deadlifting. I was in high school. I had just learned about deadlifting. I was interning at this gym and I put a ton of weight on the bar, and like I wish I had a video of it today. Like I wish that I had it. Like I don't think there were camera phones at the time, but I wish it, because I guarantee you my back looked like a scared cat. Just trying to grind this weight up my shins. And this is what I just started learning about deadlifting. And it's like, when you don't know, you don't know. And those mistakes are what shape you to become a better, stronger, more intelligent individual. And that's part of life in every aspect of it. And trying to avoid the mistakes will only slow your progress and slow your time down into becoming more of a master.
100%. I completely agree with you. It's a matter of learning, and you won't know until you try.
That's exactly right. I want you to know, I appreciate you so much for coming on and speaking with me. I think this is going to help a lot of people, and I hope it was helpful to you in some way. And again, I want to open the floor. If you have any questions, anything you want to talk about, please let me know. But I want to be respectful of your time.
I don't think I have any questions. I just really am thankful for this opportunity to speak to you and get my story and message across to people. If anybody wants to DM me or shoot me a message on Instagram and chat about anything that we discussed, I'm open.
Amazing. And just one more time, what is your Instagram handle so people can find you?
At Fierce Living Mama or at Fierce Living Fit.
Amazing. I love you so much. Thank you.
Love you too.
And I will talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Shabana, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me. I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes. They've been helping a ton, and I sincerely appreciate it. In the meantime, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.